Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3. Career 360, hosted by Howie Lim and Bernard Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
Thanks for staying with us on Money FM 89.3. Now, mothers returning to work after a gap is one of the biggest demographics that could be engaged and supported better, be it through flexible work arrangements or maybe affordable childcare support.
A study has found that some of the biggest obstacles that mothers re-entering the workforce face include age, technological and skills gap, and generational diversity, among others. And these are the views of close to 40,000 mums and work members on re-entering the workforce in a study led by Mums at Work and Ngee Ann Polytechnic.
We speak to Shirley Tory, who is the founder of Mums at Work, on how her enterprise supports these women. Shirley, thanks for coming today. Tell us of the genesis of Mums at Work and why you started it back in 2010.
In 2010, I think I recognised that there were a lot of women who, because of the needs to take care of their children or even their parents, they decided to step out at that time. And when they wanted to return to either look for flexible arrangements or even to come back into a full-time role, there actually were not too many options out there. And a lot of times, even to this very day, if you speak to a regular headhunter, there is an obstacle and you are normally seen as sort of second class, meaning that you're not considered as a good enough candidate for the job market.
Did it also hang on, say, the number of years they might have stepped out for?
Yes, that also makes a difference?
Okay.
The number of years that they've been away, the career gap, and also, frankly, their age. I think for them, if they were slightly above, say, 40, it would be increasingly challenging. Another real obstacle is also the level that they left at. So, for example, I've noticed that if, very generally, if you see more, say, a level of a directorial level, it's actually quite hard for them to come back in again.
Okay. How does Mums at Work help women to reintegrate into the workforce? And what is the demographic of women who reach out to your organization?
Right. We focus a lot on PMEs. Actually, the entire population would have at least a degree, if not a diploma. And we tend to look at women who, say, who are Singaporeans or PRs. That's a bit of our focus. And another thing that we try to do is we try to understand their needs when they're coming on board. So are they looking at flexibility? Are they looking at just going back into a full-time role? Or are they even possibly thinking about starting their own, you know, home-based business? So these are the three options that we kind of support them in. In terms of the hiring, we go straight to the employers. So we do career fairs, for example, where only women with a career gap of at least a year are allowed to join. So we kind of turn the tables around, because outside there, it's as relevant as you can be, you are invited in. We do the opposite. The more years you have, the more you're going to of gap that you have, the more we're going to allow you in. So this allows a very even playing field, because everyone in that room would have a career gap.
So, talk to us more about that, this career gap. Is that the only reason it's challenging for mums to reintegrate into the workforce? Are there other factors that come into play as well?
Yes, definitely. I think the other factor is also sometimes when they come back in, they don't want to do what they used to do.
They want to do less or more?
It's not about less or more. Sometimes they just want to take a different career path. So, for example, I still want to work very hard, but I don't want to travel as much as I used to. That, we see that a lot. In a lot of the jobs where previously they were regional roles, now they want to do more, you know, based in Singapore. I can travel by maybe once a month, not more than once a month. That's one challenge. Another challenge, I think, for a lot of them is some of them do see this as an opportunity to try something that they probably always wanted to be. So, for example, you have a lot of people who were previously in accounting all the way. They say, hey, you know, I still want to do some of that work, but I no longer want to do just be an accountant. Maybe this is a chance to try something new. So you actually have two things happening here. Obviously, the career gap is one. The other challenge is they are kind of
switching industries, though. That's a challenging thing already, also dependent on where you are in your career.
Correct.
Now, what about the obstacles that they face after the hiring process? I mean, for example, working with a younger pool of colleagues, etc. And how important is the talent generalization?
Yeah, that is a real challenge. And it was something that we were not really paying attention to until we did surveys and we did focus groups. And one of the concerns the women brought up was they would join firms where predominantly everyone had no family commitments and were younger, and they feel a little bit left out because, for example, a lot of the external social gathering that forms the tight-knit bond, they felt like they couldn't participate. I remember one lady even said, you know, I feel like a dinosaur. They call me a dinosaur. And I thought, whoa, that's quite scary, right?
Yeah. But that might not be a challenge that extends just to moms returning to the workforce.
No, I think it actually extends across the board. But the problem is, if you have a career gap and you finally return to work,
you face these kinds of social challenges, quite low.
You would think that it's because of the gap that's causing this big, huge disparity. So that's something that's there. And I think another concern, which I feel a lot of our women that we've noticed, is when they first drawing back in, they almost feel like they have to prove harder that So the dedication to the work, they feel they have to commit 120% instead of the usual 100%. So sometimes you will even ask questions like, should I not talk about that I have a family? And I say, you know, you can still do that. But I think what happens is
the fear that it'll put them in a disadvantage.
Yeah. And it's a valid concern, because when it comes to the hiring portion, you do find hiring managers tell me things like, if I hire this woman back, is she going to be dedicated, or is she always going to think about her children? It's a chicken egg of where the concern is starting from.
Talk to us about talent generalization then. What does that mean? Is it so that they don't be just specialists? They need to be
talent generalization. To me, it's not just about women coming back to work, right? In general, we're talking about this whole concept of being a little bit more adaptive to change. And quite often, I think when it comes to people who are going through any kind of change in their career, we talk about saying, why not you don't focus on just one area of your career? Because when that changes, you're going to have a big problem of being able to switch. I suppose the way we define it is focusing more on skills as opposed to a specific industry or specific role-based kind of experience. So your skills are then transferable. Your talent, your competencies are transferable. And if you look at it, it's not just about women coming back to work. It's about generally any single person who has had some experience in work. The concern with them is always you go down one path and then all the other paths close for you, which is a great fear, actually, when the things come and they disrupt you.
Well, we know that mums at work recently signed an MOU with Ngee Ann Polytechnic. Tell us a bit more about that, about what's the purpose, what's the impetus for that.
So one of the things I felt when we did the survey and the research was we found that the women said that, well, I'm not relevant, I'm maybe not technologically savvy, I'm not up to date with my skills. And the truth is, there is some element of, not
truth
being
to that,
truth to that, right? So I then went out and said, shall we look at partners that will train specifically in skills that is needed by the market, right? Because you always go where the demand is. So skills like, for example, digital marketing, data analytics, data science, these were skills which were very new to the moms, and they had some prerequisite. So for example, if you were in a very analytical role before, but you don't have a full-fledged, you know, qualification for it. And to ask someone to go back to a full-fledged qualification at that age that amount of time may not be possible. So then I started looking at partners. So Ngee Ann was one of the partners that we were looking at, and there were other smaller players like General Assembly, you know, basically organizations that did this. And we went to them and said, hey, is there an option of us partnering together and creating these courses that are more suited for women of that level? So people who, in a way, have not worked for some time, and there's that confidence level that you have to worry about, but at the same time, designing these courses that suit them and is really what the market wants, so that they are up to scratch. So if that is filled, the idea is hopefully these women get a little bit more confident about who they are. And again, there's something to add to their back of, you know, what I can do if you hire me back to work.
We're speaking with Shirley Torrey, who is the founder of Mums at Work. Shirley, tell us some of the organisations that have been more receptive to this sort of thing that you're working with on your platform.
Yeah, we've worked with different types of organisations, and frankly, the firms that are most open are the ones who have put diversity as a big part of their hiring process. So firms like Google, firms like Standard Chartered Bank, for example, or organisations where they have kind of said, I'm going to be more specific in deciding that we're going to give an alternative talent pool a chance. So MasterCard, for example, we've done quite a bit of work with them.
These are large companies.
Yeah, and we do tend to work
who have
with
a bit
MNCs.
Of leeway.
Yeah. But to be honest, the SMEs also do work with us. So our job portal, which lists flexible work, the SMEs come. They say, hey, you know, I need an accountant. I'm going to think outside of the box. The person doesn't have to be here all day, just 3 days a week, or they can work partly from home. Someone who's not worked for 2 years, that's also a good candidate for us. So we try to look at that kind of arrangement, but really segregating that differentiation. And one of the things I'm quite big about is that we focus on working with firms that say they identify the women as really having talent and not just as a cheaper alternative, which we sometimes do hear about.
Talking about that, what are some of the difficulties in getting employers to kind of change the mindsets? And how is your platform helping up in this regard?
Yeah. So one of the things we do, which I mentioned earlier on, is trying to remove the mindset that it's not, you know, just because someone has a career gap doesn't mean that they are worth less in terms of a talent. And I think the other thing we try to do is to get them, the organizations, to meet with these women in various ways whereby they feel sort of like all the bias that they may have are taken away. Mm-hmm. So I mentioned that career fair that I talked about. We don't do a typical career fair. We actually force the interaction. So we actually do, for example, their resume critiques, their mock interviews, but it's all planned and it's a one-on-one with the hiring manager. So we always tell the firms that we work with, don't just have your HR come in. It's the actual bosses who are not sure about this talent pool who should be coming to do that mock interview. In name, it's a mock interview, but mm-hmm. what we're trying to do is to get that mindset shift, because we find that every time we do it about twice a year, the hiring managers, that means the direct bosses, will come out and tell me, these women are very talented. Mm. Where are they? How come we've never seen them? And how come they exist?
Fell through the cracks.
Yeah. And the main thing is, these women wouldn't make that first cut because of that gap, right? Mm-hmm. So, but you need that convincing. You need that kind of a face-to-face interaction. So we push for things like that. We also push for a lot of what we call upskilling. So we do these talks, for example, a couple of years back, we started off with the sharing economy when it first started, and then next week we're doing something with Shopee. Mm-hmm. So the idea is, these are firms that traditionally have an image of being very different from hiring female talents, and they recognise this and they say, for example, we don't normally look at this pool, why don't we do something that is educational? It educates the women, and we tell them what they can learn, but at the same time, through the interaction, our hiring managers are changing their mindset, because they're networking, sort of like pre-planned networking sessions that you kind of force that interaction. And I think human beings are like that. Once you have that interaction, you put a face to that identity of a person who has a career gap, you recognize that this person has talent, the chance is that the next time you see someone with a career gap, you're not going to just put it off.
Has it been challenging to get the company on board first to agree to meet with?
Yeah. I think if you asked me this question in 5 years ago, my answer would have been yes. We're very, very lucky. I think now most firms come to us as much as we go to them. I think we have...
As a result of the talent crunch, you reckon?
Yes. Yeah. Partly the talent crunch, and also I think we've gotten the word out about the talent pool enough. And once one company has a success story, you can see they come back, right? And I think that's what's been interesting. Also, what's really interesting for me is I see more firms coming forward to say, it's not just about hiring these women back. I'm having trouble retaining the female talents because they are trying to leave. Right. Help me with this. Because if I want to retain them, by working with you, I'm also sending the message that you don't have to leave. Our firm has a way of helping you.
At the heart, you think, Shirley, is this a gender issue or left the workforce for a spell issue?
I think it's a gender issue. Yeah, because a lot of these women, they opted out. So this is a big thing that I share with firms. I say the pool of women we have, majority opted out. They were not pushed out. Mm-hmm. So when someone makes a career choice to opt out, and when they try to come back in, and they
judge harsher, you think?
Yeah, they judge harsher. But it's a weird way, because this person was really at the top of her game, and she made that conscious decision to choose life over work, and in a way get penalised for that. And I often ask men, do you get that? And they look at me like, I've no idea what you're talking about, right? So I think that kind of speaks a lot for that gender issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Shirley Torrey, founder of Mums at Work, thank you very much for coming to the studio.
Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.